My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no lanes on the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no lanes.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Solid, man. Spent a couple days up on the farm. Got to go to a Twins game at, a Target Field up there. Never been up there before. Came home, I took the family to see both Masters of the Universe, quite like
okay.
That. Loved it, so, actually. Yes.
Yeah, so give me a report on that, because I think that I'm going to have some time off soon. And I told my wife that's like, it's an important movie for me to go watch. So I got to go check it out.
Your wife is younger than us, right?
Yeah.
My wife is my age. So she grew up with that stuff. She was a big She-Ra fan growing up. So we're both nerds. So our nerd interests line up like that sometimes. If you like the 80s cartoon show and you have a sense of humor, you're going to like this movie.
Yeah,
it does not take it seriously.
Yeah, I watched two episodes today, episode one and episode two today, because I'm getting myself back in the mode, because they have them all up on Tubi for free, so you can just watch the whole series. So I found it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch the movie, but it has been so long since I've seen the original series. I did watch the Netflix reboot. It wasn't really like a reboot. It was like Kevin Smith produced it. Yeah. It was more like a whatever you call like a serialized,
serialization. Well, no. Yeah.
So they did like a one long story throughout the whole season. Yeah.
Oh yeah, serialization. Yeah.
So they did basically one season, but they did it in two different parts, and it was really good. So I'm looking forward to that. Look, the original movie is bad. I love it.
Oh, I love it so much.
I know. It's really bad, but I really like it. It's so
Franklin Jella is so great as Skeletor in that old movie. Like I'm one of like seven people in the planet that like that movie. I think one of the other seven is sitting with me right now. It's got a special place for me. This movie is better than that. It's a lot of fun. It does not take itself too seriously. It's silly, and they kind of explain why everybody has the goofy names like Fisto and Ram Man. Like there's an explanation in story for that.
Did they explain Merman, like the walking fish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it all gets explained. Like, and it's a lot of fun. Jared Leto chews on scenery as Skeletor, which you know you should do. So it was very cool. Yeah. And then today the boy and I went and saw Michael. I finally sat down and watched Michael.
I thought it was the John Travolta movie.
That is a movie. There is a movie called Michael where he plays the Archangel Michael. There is similarly. I thought I was the only person that made that connection. like in just, the same wavelength.
Just you, me, and probably Daza would have got that joke.
Daza's the only person that would have laughed at that. But yeah, Mike, the Michael Jackson movie, it's fucking awesome, dude. It's really good.
So where do you like, I know you don't have to give me like your full list, but is it like up there among the best biopics? Because that's what people are saying.
Yeah, I think so. I was bored during the Queen one. Disappointed. Like I just it didn't do it for me. I didn't see the Elton John one, so that really, like, I don't know, didn't strike me. My favorite biopic, and I think this is along the lines of stuff that we've been talking prior to this, is probably La Bamba.
Yeah. Dude, La Bamba rules. That's a great probably movie. Yeah, it's my, I think that's, I haven't seen Michael yet, but that's probably my favorite biopic that I've ever seen would be La Bamba. Trying to think if there's any other ones that I've seen that would probably even come close to that. Like, I liked the Johnny Cash one. Like,
it was good. Walk the line. Yeah, Walk the Line's good.
Yeah, I liked Walk the Line. The Ray Charles one, I saw that in theater. I just really like the music, you know. And yeah. I think same thing with Queen. Like, I just really like the music. I didn't really think that it was particularly a great movie. With Michael, though, they did stay away. They didn't get to the 90s, because once you get to the 90s, it's no longer a fun movie.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because we're watching the movie and it's so good. Jafar Jackson, I think might win an Oscar. He's that good playing. He's playing
That's his nephew, right?
Yeah, it's his nephew playing it.
Look, here's Michael. He's a John Travolta is an angel.
Not a good movie. It's silly. It's fun. It was during the John Travolta Renaissance of the mid 90s, like post pulp. He was working a bunch. Now he looks like a supervillain for some reason.
He did a run in the 70s and 80s, and then like he just went like dark for a while.
Yeah,
Tarantino brings him back from Pulp Fiction. The next thing you know, he just explodes again.
Explodes. Yeah, it makes a ton of, a lot of them are pretty good. A lot of them are kind of bad. I love Face Off. Face Off's a fun movie. It's a pleasure. Love that flick. But yeah, Jafar Jackson as Michael Jackson's really good. He really does a great job. And they really portray how just weird Michael Jackson really was. They don't get into him being like, it's a very sympathetic portrayal of him. And Andy was jazzed. He's like, they're going to make part two, because it says at the end, his story continues. And I'm like, you know, bud, we should probably have a conversation in the car. He's like, what do you mean, Dad? And I'm like, well.
there's these allegations about him.
So I played Scream for Michael and Janet. And I'm like, Michael's really angry here, bud. Yeah. Here's why. And then afterwards he was like, okay, Dad. Like, it was like, I don't see how you can avoid that stuff if you go into the sequel story. But I don't know. It was a good movie.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough sequel if they do it. I mean, there's meat there, but it's not gonna be, you know, Michael fans are not gonna be happy because they have a blind spot when it comes to that. Because look, the charges were dropped against him both times, the first kid was paid off, and they found child porn in his freaking house, right? That was his. Like, that's a fact, right? Like, that's not. And then the second bunch of them, look, I don't know about, but I know that the first one was pretty credible. They found kiddie porn, and then somebody gets paid off. Next thing you know, all charges are dropped, which happens with rich people. So, we'll see. But look, I'm looking forward to watching the Michael, because I mean, look, the music is insane. Like, he's one of the greatest ever. The guy's fabulous,
insanely talented. I think with music, you're best off just having like. Just really appreciating the art, not so much the artist.
Yeah.
Like, the more you learn about people, the more disappointed. Just in general, the more we learn about people, the more disappointed we are. Except Hunter Biden. Yeah. I think I love that guy now.
Like, low key rules. Like, not even like at this point, not even low key. Like, the guy just freaking rules. In fact, somebody called him out. Somebody like commented on one of Hunter's posts. And the guy that commented had a Johnny Cash like as his avatar. Mm-hmm. And then Hunter was like, the guy was calling Hunter like a low life drug addict or whatever like that. And Hunter responded, telling him the story of Johnny Cash and all the misgivings that Johnny Cash had, and you know, getting caught smuggling dope into Mexico and all this stuff, and like cheating on his wives and almost killing himself, and then coming back and, you know, becoming an icon after that, and taking the word into the prisons and the institutions and all that stuff, and kind of like living a good and maybe not a completely clean life, but a good life after that.
He tried. We talked about that on this show a bunch. You and I are both fans of people trying to be better. You know, people who can go, yeah, I wasn't great, and I'm trying better now. So I mean, like, kind of, I don't think we can apply that to Michael Jackson, but I think you could definitely apply it to Hunter Biden and numerous other people.
Over
time. So I don't know, but it's a good movie. You should give it a shot when you get a chance. That and
Well, I'm all in on both those movies. I'm really looking forward to it. Chat is blowing up tonight. I'm looking forward to it. But as always, we're going to get to our super chat first. We have some big news that happened today, and I'm sure that's what the chat wants to talk about. It's the title story of the episode. Steve Macklin has left TNA. He asked for his release, and the release was granted. And let's get to the first super chat. And then I'm going to tell a story of what happened here. From my perspective and from what I know. And also I got not really like new, like crazy inside information, but I got a little bit of a, you know, inside information on this deal. So let's see. Glassdoor Gamer, Mike, my friend found TNA on cable and asked me, why are they allowing Matt Hardy to wrestle in a Willy Wonka match? Cause he looks like he's crippled. Well, you know, Willy Wonka gave him the magic juice and now he can kind of go in there and do his moves and jump off of ladders and do all that stuff. So why are they letting Matt Hardy wrestle? It's cause he's the only guy in the company that can draw money. That's why. Him and his brother. That's it.
I think it's disingenuous for people to say Matt Hardy can barely walk. That's been the story of Matt Hardy for the last decade. When they did the final deletion 10 years ago, the whole thing was, well, Matt can barely move. That was a decade ago. We're talking like a quarter of the man's career. So, I mean, I don't like people who I don't want fake concern is the term I use, but we pick and choose when we have concern for these guys' health. And I think that it's disingenuous in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel you there. Most people don't even really care. They're just, showing ass. But, so let's get to the top story. Steve Macklin has left TNA Wrestling. It's a big, big story that's all over the internet right now. He is, by my count, the sixth person since the beginning of the year. The seventh person from the beginning of the year that has asked for their release, and that release has been granted. Now, while I commend TNA for actually letting people go when they ask, I think that's cool. They do have to look inward and ask themselves, why are all these people wanting to leave? Because it's not just about the money. If it were just about the money, people would just wait out their contracts and then they would just get picked up and go elsewhere, which has been the story of TNA for a long, long time. Why is it this way? Well, what I could say is Tommy Dreamer is a real problem in that company. There's going to be some wrestlers that will defend him, probably because he's booking them pretty well. Like, he's their boss, so they're going to come out and publicly like defend the guy. But his ideas are archaic, and they don't really work in modern wrestling. The company is creatively bankrupt. They got no vision, no ideas, and the wrestlers can see it, and they can see that their careers are not being taken care of. Steve, personally, like specifically, has been outspoken against the TNA creative for a while. That's been reported by Sean Ross Sapp, so that's not like me just saying that. Sean Ross Sapp reported that today. I get the feeling he has a pretty good source on that one. But Steve has been outspoken for a long time about the creative direction of the company, and that he was worried that, you know, when they went to AMC, if they didn't improve the creative, then they were doomed, and the creative did not improve. The only really good story they had this year was Steve Macklin and Mike Santana's feud that they had. And even that had some plot holes in it. You could tell like too many people got their hands on that one, and they probably stuck to the original story. It might've been a lot better, but like too many people giving their input and it got convoluted. But even then, like, it was carrying the show for weeks. So they do their match at Sacrifice back in March. Unfortunately, Steve gets a concussion in the match, like right in the beginning. And then he takes off for a while and gets a concussion. JD, what would you have done as a storyteller if one of your top stars gets a concussion in the middle of the match gets stopped and they need to do a rematch? Just give me any type of good idea, especially when that guy looks like the Punisher and wears Punisher gear. Like, how would that guy come back?
Oh, so you're asking me what I would do after the fact, like after he's cleared after the concussion? Oh, dude,
after he's cleared.
So I would actually build a storyline where they won't clear him, right? And he's just like beating people's asses to get back, to get a shot back in there, and like really do the man is holding him down storyline, right? Yeah. And really try to build some sympathy around there. And really, like I said, like the fake concern, like, oh, Steve, we can't put you in there. You got this concussion. We're worried. And the whole time you're just letting this guy build up more and more and more till one day he finally just snaps and starts taking people out. That's what I would do if handed something like that.
Yeah, you could also play into the fact that, you know, he was probably blown up in Iraq or Afghanistan, TBI. Like, he's also a guy that's really been open with his PTSD and things like that. Like, you could kind of maybe go into some of those things.
I know why you're saying that, and I think that's a great idea. My brain wouldn't go there because, like, I think there's like sacred cows and stuff like that. Like, guys like me don't feel comfortable touching on military stuff, but with you opening that door and giving that like freedom, I think that kind of seeing you as a veteran can give you that freedom. Cause like, I think there's a shit ton of stuff that you could do with that if he was comfortable with it. But I think that a lot of people are going to push back on you because they don't like things too real. But I think that's the excellent bones of a story. And I think you could work both those ideas together.
For sure.
Really fucking cool to really build sympathy and like interest in a hot baby face. I really think that.
Yeah. And he could have like still be heel with the Mike Santana. And then as it gets to its apex, like you could flip him back. Guess what they did, JD?
I don't know.
What did they? He was gone for 2 months and Santana's in the ring. He had beaten Rich Swann the week before, really good match. And talking about, you know, future opponents, Daria Ray comes out and says, oh, yeah, well, next week your opponent is Steve Maclin. He's owed a rematch.
That's it.
And then Santino comes out and starts talking about the feud with Stinks and his daughter. And Steve didn't come out. He didn't attack Mike. He didn't do a promo. He didn't do a goddamn thing. Then they just get to the next week. He does a couple of, like, backstage segments where he doesn't talk. The guy's a great promo. One of the best in the company, doesn't talk. And then they go on and they have
probably the best promo in the company, quite honestly.
Yeah, it's like it's probably him and Santana, actually.
Yeah.
So they go and then they have the match and they fucking tear the house down. They absolutely did. They the match ruled. During that match, Carlos Silva sitting outside in his chair, and Steve gets in his face. Carlos stands up and Steve looks right at him and goes, "Sit back in your cuck chair." And that played on national television. And that is the last time that we've seen Steve in this company. So like he asked for his release and I'm sure they were happy to give it to him because he's probably pretty outspoken and really cares and is a professional and wants things to go well and wants to do things the right way. But he got right in Carlos's face and called him a cuck. and now he's gone. So that's been it. Like he's been unhappy for a while.
Carlos Silva needs to get that position. He puts himself on TV without actually being in a storyline way too much. This is disappointing because, like I said, I got out of the Bracer Impact thing years ago, but listening to you and talking with you on this show over the last couple of years, in 2023 or 2024, when TNA started to get interesting again, and you would be on our show talking about, hey man, they're selling tickets long before everybody else was saying it.
Silva.
Sorry, it was on live television, huh?
It was taped. That's even better. It was taped.
See, that feels like it feels like an angle.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
It's so stupid. Like, as I was saying, like the last couple of years, like the story has been TNA has been building back. They've been building fan interest. You can just see it from the attention that this show gets and your show gets. Like, and then the relationship with WWE put them under, I don't know if microscope is the term I use, but it definitely got them attention to the point where you had, you know, disingenuous turds like Eric Bischoff saying they're going to be the new number two company. And over the last 6 months since they got that TV deal, like, ratings have been fine, I guess, you know, nothing like dangerous. Like, it certainly did better than people thought, but it seems like everybody there is, it seems like the people that earned a lot of this stuff are no longer there. Like, I remember we've been fans of Maclin probably since he left WWE and not resurfaced from you, but like, you know, reimagined himself and revisioned himself in this company. He's been a pleasure to watch. And he's been there, God, 5 years now, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. He came right. He was part of that first wave of WWE talents that got released in the pandemic. And he came right over. He was there like literally almost 90 days to the day he showed up. He's like kind of been one of their most reliable performers during that 5 years. I mean, mm-hmm. the guy always showing out, and you could put him at bottom of the card, and he was doing X Division stuff, and he kind of worked his way up. He was a world heavyweight champion, international champion. He was main eventing pay-per-views, his opening pay-per-views. He did like everything. But one thing that he couldn't be for them for whatever reason wasn't like the guy. Maybe he was never going to be the guy. Like only certain people can be the guy. But he could have been like, you know, kind of like the next tier down for a very, very long time. He didn't need to be Kurt Angle, but he could be Bobby Roode, right? You know what I mean? Like a champion here and there and kind of like always in and around the main events. I think he's that talented.
I don't disagree with you. And I will say this is like, why can't Steve Macklin be the guy in that company? Now, Mike Santana has had a good run there, but he's only been there for 2 years, right? 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that at this point. Yeah. Like, why don't, I mean, like, you can have a guy, but you got to have a guy underneath the guy, or who does the guy work with? You know, it seems like they've never really gotten behind Macklin and just pushed him. And then if there was a shit ton of people in front of him, like if you're talking like an AEW, they're pretty stacked up top, right? WWE, you're pretty stacked up top. It's really hard to kind of break through. Who's significantly better than Macklin to keep stepping in front of him? You can give me Mike Santana. I'll argue that. But I mean, like, who else? Like,
yeah,
who else is there? And I think that's part of the problem with the company is they're not, for a main event story thing, it seems like they're so much more interested in like the side bullshit than they are about like really pushing a character or a story, a real story, like a heartbeat of the company story, you know?
I totally agree. You know, it's disappointing. I think a lot of people were expecting me to come on here and like lose my shit, and I'm not, because I'm happy for Steve.
He wants to go. I think
he wants to go, and they let him go, and I think that I do think that AEW is going to at least kick the tires on him. I think they're going to give him a shot. He has no support within the company. And like Deonna aside, right? Deonna aside, you know, he's got Will Ospreay is a major supporter of Steve, and I think would like to work with Steve actually. And you got, you know, obviously Josh Alexander, and then you got all like the Rascals and Jake something and all these cats that are there right now, all of them pushing for him to come in. Like that roster is loaded and bloated at times. But I wouldn't be surprised if he got like an opportunity at least. You know, I could also see him doing the Maple Leaf Pro thing. He was supposed to be in Maple Leaf Pro the weekend he got hurt, and he ended up missing those dates. So they got themselves a big TV deal in Canada on TSN. So I could see them wanting to bring Steve in. I mean, Scott D'Amore loves the guy, you know. So I could totally see that. But I think that it's best for him, really, because this TNA company is going nowhere, honestly. Like, the last couple of years they were, and I said this on Twitter, but the last couple of years they were a company that was like fighting for something. They had a goal in mind. And even when the booking was bad, like there was still this energy around the company where it was like the scrappy company and that people really wanted to support and get behind. There's some people that were never going to give it an opportunity. They're never going to give it a chance. And I got that. Like the history is there. The name is there. And some people are just not going to give it a chance because of the name. And then when they linked up with WWE, there was really a lot of people that weren't going to give it a chance. But once that happened, like they did start to get some momentum. It's like, okay, let's get behind this company. Maybe they can get to where they need to go. And then if they got this TV deal, they're never going to be number two, but man, could they be a well-funded, solid number three, another like really good place for people to go and work and make a really good living. Could they be that? And then could they put on good television shows now that they do have a network that they're relying on to keep their business afloat, right? Like they have to keep their numbers up on AMC to keep it going. They're not just like on their parent company's network anymore. Like they're on a real fucking network with real rights fee. And so they have to produce real results. Could they do that? And the answer is no, they can't. They just don't have the right people in place. Whether it's Carlos or Tommy Dreamer or Hunter Delirious Johnston, The whole thing. Something's got to change. And, you know, whenever I got sober years ago, my sponsor told me, he's like, Mike, the only thing you need to change is everything. And I think that's kind of where TNA is at this point, because it's rotten to the core. You know, and I wouldn't be saying this if six or seven people within a 6 month period, and they don't have a big roster, like six or seven people asked for their release. Like if I work in my division has like 350 people. If seven people asked for to get out of the company, they just straight up quit. Within a 6 month period, my manager would get fired. Like they would make a change. They absolutely would make a change. Like, why are all these people leaving our company? Now we're getting this reputation where we're not a good place to work. We're not going to be able to attract talent to come to our company. Why is it? Is it the pay scale? That has something to do with it, but the pay scale has been the same for a long, long time. So it can't just be the pay scale. So what is really the problem? The problem is job satisfaction. People don't like coming to work. They're not being creatively fulfilled. The bookings are not consistent. That's what was going on with Myla Grace. Like, she's coming in from overseas and she's not getting booked enough. So she asked for a release and she got it granted. Dani Luna, she left. Steph DeLander couldn't get medically cleared. She left. Mance Warner, they fucked over his wife. So he left. In his opinion, they fucked over the wife. I am still kind of on the fence about that one. So they're like that, that has to be looked at. And you can say, oh, well, Mike, the, you know, their year over year ticket sales are up. So, well, yeah, but they're working a lot bigger buildings this year. So they're spreading themselves out more. That's why the ticket sales are up.
It's funny you say that, because like that, I remember we had this conversation about AEW back in 2022 when people were really upset, when the talent, right, were really upset on both sides, the, during the whole Punk debacle, right? The Bucks side was unhappy. The Punk side is unhappy. And a lot of the people like, well, you know, they're still selling out. They're still selling good tickets. They're still, ratings are good. You know, wrestling, this is like this, blah, blah, blah. And then a year after that is when shit really hit the fan.
Yeah.
Like, it takes, I heard Cornette say something like this. Like, it takes a good year for ticket sales to kind of match the problems. It's because people will buy tickets based on kind of what happened 6-7 months ago, right? And then the next time they come through, if you're unsatisfied, then you don't buy the ticket, you know? And we're starting to see that. And it was like WWE too. When WWE back in the Attitude Era, when they started to take their shit back in 2003, it wasn't until 2004 that those box offices really started to slip, right? Like it takes time for the, it's weird to say this, but it takes longer to rebuild than it does to fall apart. But even falling apart, it takes some time before it's really reflected. But you're right, it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. I think one of the big issues with TNA and AMC is that, you know, it's like when I made Master Sergeant, I remember my commander told me, he goes, Gilbert, the higher up the ladder you go, the more of your ass people will see. And so they were hiding out on Access TV for years, and Twitch and all that. And then WWE becomes a partner and nobody can actually watch the TV show. And they're certainly not going to like buy a subscription to TNA Plus to watch it. They don't really care that much. But you know, WWE was like gassing them up and had their WWE friendly media gassing them up as number two, because they're trying to create this facade that TNA was competition for AEW. That way it would lower the way people see AEW, right?
The market value
and put that on the same playing field as TNA. And then they get this AMC deal. And now that they're on AMC, people are actually watching the show and they realize, oh, wait a minute, this sucks. So, like, it's like, hold on. This is not very. Now, look, I don't want to say that every episode's been bad. That hasn't been the case. There's been a lot of good episodes and a lot of episodes that I've enjoyed, a lot of main events that I've actually really enjoyed. The problem is it's just not very consistent, and there's so much bad on the show that it's hard to really like look forward to the actual good things that are on the show because of all the hokey shit. You can't get around the hokey shit, and the connective tissue is just not there. Like, the episodes don't really go into each other. The storylines get picked up and they drop. Storylines are not very good. You got people bumping into each other backstage to create feuds. And then of course the matches come, and a lot of the matches are, you know, the finishes are distraction roll-ups, like just the typical hokey bullshit that you've been getting forever. And I've really soured on the company since about Sacrifice because that show was just bad. It was just a really bad show. And then, of course, I think they were hoping that Steve and Mike would save it. And then, of course, Steve gets hurt. And so, like, now it's even a worse show. And then you got to Rebellion. And most matches were really good, but they just all had interference, bad finishes, like just one after another. And then you get to the main event, and it's like one of the worst goddamn – it's Eddie Edwards and Mike Santana, two really good pro wrestlers. But because they had Moose and Alicia Edwards and the system and all this hokey shit involved, it was a really bad match. And they have not really been able to recover. And, you know, they turned Nick Nemeth heel for that show. Or baby, I'm sorry, he was heel for a long time. They turned him babyface for the show just because they were able to bring in Bernie Kosar and Nick's from Cleveland. So he becomes a babyface for the show. And then just last night, they turned him back heel again. He turned heel on Mike Santana, and he's challenging for the world title at Slammiversary. Oh, and by the way, Mike Santana's leaving. He's gone. So he's definitely dropping that belt to Nick Nemeth. So it's like the answer of who is going to be taking over for Mike Santana. Nick Nemeth, who's a very good pro wrestler, not a star. He's a good, really good wrestler, like solid dude, not a star, and is hardly there. So, but that's the guy that they're going to go with because he was on WWE television for 20 years, right? So it's because they don't have any creative vision. They don't have any ideas, and they don't know how to make new stars. They will tell you they do because they'll say, hey, look, Joe Hendry. Motherfucker, Joe Hendry made Joe Hendry. He got over on TikTok. Like, mm-hmm. You cocksuckers were beating him left and right even after he got hot. You just kept beating the guy, and he just stayed over in spite of your booking. And then you made him the world champion by the time he had cooled off, and the next thing you know, WWE wants him. And they job him out to Randy Orton and Trick Williams, and then he's just dead, and now he's on the main roster not doing a goddamn thing, right? So, you could have had a really huge star in Joe Hendry, but you did not know how to book. You just didn't know what you were doing.
It's funny, they signed Joe Hendry as the ultimate, as a meme wrestler, like a super hot meme wrestler, and then WWE went and signed like the number one meme wrestler of all time. Like, so how are you gonna like, you can't outshine Danhausen, you know, like, it just in that department, like, it just doesn't work. So
no,
it seems like they trip over the phrase "trip or your own dick" is one phrase that pops into mind, but this has kind of largely been the story with this company. Like, from day one, if you want to get pushed, be somebody in WWE first, right? And every time they make somebody, they go out of their way. And this is like the same story as AJ Styles and Samoa Joe decade plus ago, right? The guy gets over there, people like him, he's got a chance, but he's not Booker T, or he's not Scott Steiner,
or like, even Mick though guys Foley
are
or,
Mick yeah. Foley, guys are well past their prime, right? Like, it's like, I don't know, man. It bugs me. Like, for the amount of criticism they hear in AEW, like, oh, I just get old WWE guys, and they're world champion. It's, you know, MJF. Yeah, and you look here, and it's going to be Nick Nemeth, who's Dolph Ziggler, man. And that's the thing about it is, you look, it's always going to be secondary WWE stuff because it's how
Hey, JD, he's a legendary college wrestler, though.
Get the fuck out of here. I hate when they say
it's so funny. I remember whenever they were doing the whole gimmick between him and Jack Swagger actually
was an All-American. Like, Nick Nemeth wasn't bad by any stretch. He's multiple time NCAA qualifier. He was pretty good. He's a MAC champ, I think, three or four times, like, in our conference. Like,
MAC is a little bit different than the Big Ten, right?
A little bit different. I say this as a MAC guy. Like, our conference is not as competitive.
Thwagger, when he was at Oklahoma, they were Big 12, weren't they? Not Big 10.
They were Big 12. That was back when the Big 12 was pretty good, too. Big 12. Big 12 was a good conference. We're talking about Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Iowa State. Like, this is Missouri. Those are good teams, like, especially in that era.
Sure. So
there's no bad mock on that whatsoever. But Jack Swagger was Jake Hager was a multiple-time All-American. And, you know, Ziggler never came close to being an All-American.
No.
He was a qualifier, won our conference every year. He's a junk wrestler, but like, he won. But I just, legendary college wrestler stuff just makes me.
Well, we got a couple more super chats. Let's get into them. Let's see. Glassdoor Gamer, not a ring and an endorsement for Busted Open Analyst. I will still take over for Denise Salcedo. I contend that I'm better than her at this job. She's just, like, you know, got the connections and more popular, I guess. But I think that I provide better analysis than she does. But she does the TNA post show on Busted Open. But that's probably the only way I'll keep doing a TNA post show is if Busted Open wants to pay me money. And I'll take their money for sure. We got another super chat from King of the North. Hey, Mike and JD, hope you have both had a great week. Just got my copy of Gaijin back from my coworker buddy, and he said he loved it. Well, there you go. That's cool.
It's funny you should mention Gaijin. That's funny you should mention Gaijin. I got something to talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me get to some chats here. By the way, there was a guy in the chat trolling everybody.
Chad Schultz is saying Nebraska. I forgot Nebraska, also an excellent Big 12 school, home of Jordan Burroughs. Got to show love to the Big Red. I apologize.
Yeah, Tommy Frazier. Yep, for sure. They're going back to 1995.
Tom Osborne option football. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was a kid in the chat, and he was just like nonstop posting that WWE is buying TNA. That's not happening.
Why wouldn't they?
Like, yeah, I mean, I guess it could happen, but like Steve Macklin and Myla Grace, who like neither, like Steve is great. One of my all time favorites, obviously. He wasn't on the show a whole lot and he wasn't like a fixture on pay-per-view, nothing like that. He wasn't at Rebellion. He wasn't on Genesis. Last pay-per-view we saw him on was Bound for Glory. This is not an indicative of WWE pulling out of the TNA partnership. This is not indicative of WWE is not forcing TNA to not book Macklin properly or Myla Grace. They are not forcing them to accept these releases. They are not controlling the roster. They're not doing any of that. Now, look, WWE sucks, and we're going to get to the shareholder lawsuit here in a minute. But there's a group of people out there that want to blame WWE for what's going on with TNA. And when you do that, you take away the responsibility from TNA. Trust me when I say this, they're fully capable of fucking things up without WWE help. WWE, the partnership, other than like the couple of stars that they've taken, which, you know, that's just going to happen with the pieces. That's the position the TNA is in, right? Because they're just a small company. They're not going to be able to pay the talent. Other than that, it's only been a positive for TNA. Like, they got the TV deal. The houses are up. Like so WWE's like, here, we're going to help you. We're going to get you all this notoriety. Like, you're going to sell more tickets. You're going to get a better TV deal. Now it's up to you to go do something with it. We're not going to do it for you. And this is what we're getting. Right. So as much as I would like to blame WWE for what's going on in AEW or in TNA, this is TNA. Like, you can't blame WWE for this, because I think WWE's only ever put them in a position to succeed, with exception to, like, you know, taking Joe Hendry, of course.
No, WWE used TNA as like a beta testing thing. Like, they basically wanted to see if they could, if by slowly interjecting some of their guys, if they could influence TNA to get a TV deal, as workshopping basically to see how they would do it with their own sub base in AAA, right? Because now if you see WWE's attention is on AAA and trying to get AAA an American TV deal. So that's why they're paying no attention whatsoever to TNA at this point. They proved their point. They're like, okay, we can do this. Because when they were helping with TNA, they had no skin in the game. It was just, can our name get another product that doesn't have our three letter branding on it? Can it get them a TV deal? And it did help them to, because TNA... with the WWE partnership, it doesn't happen, right? And that's the AAA. They're not calling it WWE AAA. They call it AAA. So that's the whole thing. Is, can we get AAA this deal? That's where their attention is now. And you can't blame WWE for TNA's incompetence. They kind of gave them stuff on a golden platter, actually, and it's been on those guys to fuck it up. Like, Carlos wants to sit there and, I mean, sorry, it does act like a cock chair. Like, I hate that phrase, but like. After a fucking year, you have to kind of go, yeah, that is kind of what he's doing. Like,
yeah,
that's what it is. Like,
he had Stinks beat Steve Macklin for the international title. Stinks doesn't know how to wrestle, right? He had, like, he let Ariana Grace be the Knockouts champion. She doesn't know how to wrestle either, right? Like, it's just bizarre. And I look. Do I think that WWE pushed that on them? Not necessarily. I think TNA just really wanted NXT stars on the show. And WWE's like, well, you can have Stinks and Ariana Grace. Right. And so, and then if you put the titles on them, we'll put them on our TV show and say that they're the champions. You know what I mean?
But I get that. It makes total sense. You know, that's like when AWA put the world title on Lawler, who had his own company down in Memphis, right? It just makes your company look bigger when your champion is traveling, right? It made sense for them to work with WWE. Like, then that's a way to show your relationship is you have cross promotion. WWE or AEW does that with their guys in Mexico and in Japan all the time. So, I mean, I think Andrade's got they call it the global belt now. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense. You want to do that. Now, the particular people they chose, not great. But I mean, like, just going down to that, I think, Sue Williams called it the world's biggest Planet Fitness down in Orlando, the Performance Center.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, not everybody that comes out of there is great. There's a lot of people that really suck at wrestling. They just are, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and two of those people are Stinks, Lorenzo, and Ariana Grace. Heat is on. Said Jersey Jan wasn't so bad after all. Yeah, no, she wasn't. JC Jane. I for whatever reason, I just called her Jersey Jan one day. Just, I don't know.
That's great.
Yeah,
dude, she's been at NXT forever too, hasn't she?
I think she's on the main roster by now. Yeah. They just gutted that NXT brand and they're starting from scratch, I guess. So
they should probably do it every 2 years. To be honest with you, like, you got to bring in more people. You got to rotate them through. That's smart business. They should do that.
Yeah, yeah. If your AAA baseball team has the same people for like 2-3 years in a row, that means that you're not really developing people. You know, like they should either be up on yours or you should have traded them for other assets. You know what I mean? So that does become a problem. Let's see what
team is developing their assets very well and has a lot of great young rookies and young ball players playing very good baseball. The Chicago White Sox.
The White Sox are doing really good. My Dodgers have been killing it. Ohtani is
actually
the best pitch. They're the best pitcher in baseball and one of the best hitters. He's back up over 300 with 11 homers. But they got their asses kicked today by the Angels, though. But
the White Sox did too by the Phillies.
The reason why they got their asses kicked is because it was on at a time that I could watch. And I was like, I'm going to watch baseball with my son. And he was actually sitting there watching. And like, it took him all of 5 minutes before he's like, Daddy, I want dinos. He wants Land Before Time. So I was good. Well, you know, they got on the YouTube Kids, they got the TV series that they did in like the early 2000s. My kids love that. Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing. They made a Land Before Time TV series? I had no idea.
Yeah, it's actually like I get into them. They're pretty good.
I remember the original Land Before Time is a great movie.
Yeah. Let's see. King of the North saying, I am the WWE bad guy. This shit is all TNA. Yeah, I think that's the best approach. See, there's zero reason for WWE to buy TNA. Anthem definitely wants to sell, but it won't be them. Yeah.
What do they get? What does WWE get if they buy TNA at this point?
Well, I mean, so TNA, they're probably valued pretty high because of the TV deal and this TV deal and the assets around the world. You know, they do have a lot of TV deals all around the world. They got the app. They got they are pretty well valued. But WWE, I don't think it helps them whatsoever. I think it only hurts them if they buy it. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You're taking on one, probably some debt. Two, you're taking on a bunch of other stuff that you have to do. I mean, like, I don't see how that helps them. I don't see what that does for WWE to just, I mean, other than the fact that they have a bloated roster and have another place to put people. Like,
I think they would rather just cut people and let them not have jobs. Like,
that seems to be what they've chosen.
Yeah.
Which is smarter way to run a business. I mean, if you're looking at dollars and cents.
Because buying TNA, not only do they accrue more debt, but they open themselves up to, antitrust. Like, they don't want to deal with that. So, we'll close with that. I can't pronounce the last name. I'm too Caucasian. I'm sorry. But our boy Io, not happy with TNA. He's been shitting on TNA. Like in public, which that's when you know the TNA is having some trouble. But he's saying there's other billionaires out there. Let's see, Steve Macklin is not going to AEW. Look, I just AEW has been signing up a lot of people and a lot of people from TNA's roster, and they've signed a lot of people that we did not think that they would sign, and I think they signed them just because they were on TNA's roster. So,
they They passed on Mance multiple times, and then after he'd been on TNA, they got him in Ring of Honor. But I mean, I really wish they could just, I really wish Ring of Honor had a TV deal and they could just separate that roster and do something interesting with Ring of Honor, because there's some really good talent down there, but they just don't.
Look, like they had an opportunity. Like, they brought Mance Warner in and he wrestled John Moxley on television and they didn't sign him. And like, they had Jake something several times and on AEW Dark, and they didn't sign him then. It wasn't until like people felt that he was wronged in TNA. TNA is about to get a TV deal. Now, all of a sudden, the Inspiration, the Rascals, Jake something, now Mance Warner. Like, I don't think it's that crazy to think that Steve Maclin gets signed there.
The only reason he wouldn't go to AEW is if he doesn't want to. Although I don't know why he wouldn't want to. I mean, like, don't you? I would assume he wants a steady paycheck. Like,
yes, he's not an idiot. Like, and I'll be honest, he's not an idiot. I don't think he leaves TNA unless he has something else lined up.
I agree. Right? He's not stupid.
Yeah, he's not stupid. And what that is, I don't know if that's. I mean, could he go back to be a coach at NXT? I think he would be a great coach.
Do you think he would go to WWE? Do you think they would kick the tires on Steve Maclin?
I mean, he was there for 7 years. They know him.
They do.
Now what he has not, since the two companies have been working together, he has not been brought over. He hasn't been one of the guys that they've brought over, but it's not like he's like a guy that was getting in trouble there or anything like that. No. I think that he would be a good solid veteran to have in NXT if they wanted to bring him in and be kind of a player coach for sure. And like a top star in NXT if they wanted to go that route too, like he'd be great at that.
Well, here's the thing too, because like we just talked about NXT bringing in a lot of young guys. Young guys don't get, and I think this is the problem with the Rainbow NXT era, is a lot of those guys didn't get better quick enough because they weren't working with good enough talent. And you see a lot of that era NXT people struggle a little bit on the main roster now. You know, a lot of this is because you only get as good as the people you're working with. Right. Yeah. If you work with crap, you're not going to get better. And that's why you need veteran talent down there in NXT. That's why the best era of NXT had a bunch of really good indie guys that were helping develop some of those dudes, like your Chad Gables. Chad Gable, look at all the guys he was working with when he was in NXT. You don't think that helped him become the guy he is now? Like, they need those guys. I don't think it'd be a crazy thing if they were to pick him back up.
Yeah, I don't think so whatsoever. I mean, he like lives in the area. Like, that sounds like the perfect guy to bring in. I'm just predicting AEW, but I wouldn't rule out WWE at all.
I was making a conversation. Dude, speaking of which, I just saw a Southern New Hampshire University commercial with Deanna Purrazzo. I guess that's where she's getting her degree from.
She's one of their spokeswomen, for sure.
I did not know that. I was at the gym, and I saw it on TV, and I'm like, that's Deanna. And I realized what I was watching.
That's the only time I see her on Dynamite is when that commercial comes on.
I always miss the commercials on HBO. Yeah. That's kind of funny. Good for her, by the way.
Yeah, good for her. Get to a couple more chats. Let's see. Nicholas Riley. For everyone saying Anthem wants to sell, a legitimate question, if they really did, why didn't they just take the $10 million offer from D'Amore? Well, it's because they think it's worth a lot more than that. And if they are getting $10 million a year from AMC, it's probably valued around the same as what New Japan was valued at, to be honest with you. New Japan's not getting a ton of TV money, and they sold around 32 million. I would say with TNA with their TV money, that's probably about what TNA is worth right now. So, and I think if you want it, you might have to come in strong. They're probably, if somebody did want to buy it, they'd have to offer more than 30, I would think, for sure.
10's not that much. Like,
no, but when Scott D'Amore offered that, they were on Access TV.
But even you know, TNA is a recognizable brand internationally speaking. Like, and I feel like weird saying this, but $10 million really isn't that much money. Like, I think you're right. I think they have to come in for at least 30. And I don't know who's gonna make that deal at this moment.
I told Gail Kim the other day, I was like, hey, I told her, like, hey, let's buy the thing. She said, you buy it, Mike, and I'll help you run the thing. So I said, well, I'm going to ask my wife if I can start selling my pictures of my feet to raise money. To which she, for whatever reason, quote tweeted and said, well, I have great feet. I could have been a billionaire by now. And I was like, Gail, you just opened yourself up to a whole world of people you don't want to know.
Sometimes she steps into it on Twitter, man. Like, okay. Realistically speaking, she's not incorrect, but
that's funny. Yeah, that was funny. Okay. Do we have any more? Hold on. Let's see. We got another. Ariana Grace had a longer run than JC Jane. Well, JC Jane was just, she won the title at Slammiversary, and then she took the belt to NXT and then just dropped it right back to TNA. Like, it was just a thing. It was a gimmick that TNA wanted to get their title on NXT television. That was it.
It's fine. That's not a problem. I like when stuff like that happens. I love seeing other belts on different shows.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we got, man, the chat was blowing up. I'm sorry, guys. I'm really trying to keep up with all the chat, but I just couldn't keep up with it. So my bad. Thanks everybody that's dropping in the chat. Hey, WWE shareholder lawsuit. Looks like that is over. They had a hearing that was scheduled for like this week or next week or something like that. Got completely pulled off the calendar. Word is that it looks like that they are going to reach a settlement here pretty soon. What are your thoughts there?
Not surprised. That's how these things usually end. Nothing goes, when it comes to these matters, nothing goes to court. It does not, because then you have start discovery, and then TKO gets their books opened up, and nobody wants to see what's in there. So I imagine they're going to get a pretty hefty settlement.
Yeah. Let's see. Heat is on set. It was scheduled for tomorrow. Thank you for that. Yeah. I think I bet the shareholders got paid. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a big payout for that, because they were caught red-handed whenever they're deleting the evidence, and then the judge came back and ruled that they acted, in bad faith or whatever words they used. Obviously, not a legalese guy. I'm not the guy that you're coming to for all your legal news, but it looks like WWE or TKO is going to do a massive payout on that deal. It's not going to be big. It's going to be like how big. So would be the thing.
Could be the way things are shaping up, especially for the end of this month, could be a little bit of a rougher summer for TKO. They're fine. Don't shed tears, but they might have some egg on their face with quite a few things this month.
You're referencing the White House show coming up.
I am referencing the White House show coming up. Not a great card. Got people not wanting to go to it. I don't think it's going to be a disaster, but I don't think it's going to wind up being the big thing that certain people had envisioned it to be.
Yeah, and UFC's losing money on that deal. They're fitting the bill for the whole thing, which is weird.
That guy's not good about paying for things that he wants. So.
Yeah, yeah. Probably take out a loan and just default on it. Let's see. King says, seems like they realized they couldn't win because the signal messages were deleted and the judge ruled things were true. Number two, stuff said could help with other lawsuits happening. Yes. Yeah, so I was, I DM'd, I DM'd BJ. I DM'd BJ because he sent me his tweet. Is it settlement? Do you think this trickles down to Janelle Grant? He said, I'm not sure, but it looks like it's possible. So maybe because this thing is settling that we could actually see a resolution in the Grant lawsuit.
She talks a good game about wanting to see this thing, and she's become much more public about things.
Yeah.
So I could see her. Well, now again, I think a settlement ultimately will happen, but I could see her. I don't want to use from bleeding, but drawing that out as long as possible, not just for the money, but because I think she genuinely wants the world to know what happened to her, you know? So I that one's still a bit of a wild card to me, because that is not just a person looking for a payout, which is a lot of most lawsuits are people looking for payouts. This one in particular was. But I mean, like,
it's not a criminal case. So the only thing that's going to end up with is money. Like, that's the only way this ends is money. It's just the question is like how much.
Yeah, how much for sure. But the Janelle Grant thing, though, I could see them wanting to get him in court just to kind of. Just for the sake of it, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to want that to happen. It's going to make it, but I mean, like, it's a bluffing game at this point.
Yeah.
But I could see them wanting to go all the way with it, and it might hurt the settlement eventually. But I don't know. I could see it.
Yeah, I could see it. All right, we only got a few minutes left. Tell me about what you got coming up. You're getting back into writing. What do you got going on? What are you doing?
I finished Killing the Town.
Oh, okay.
significant. It's better, man. I had some good notes that were given me by an editor, and I think we finally stuck the ending with it. And I'm going to be giving it away for free on this Patreon because everybody here supported it, and we're super patient while I was writing it. So I do want to kickstart it later this summer into fall. We'll see how it plays out. But I got the final notes back coming tomorrow. And the editor's like, hey, they're good. We just got to make a couple tweaks. So it's going to be easy. So I think that I'm thinking probably by the end of the month, maybe a little bit earlier, everyone who's on our Patreon should get the full short story, which wound up supposed to be a really short story, wound up being a little bit longer than a short story of Killing the Town. So yeah, I'm back in writing and, you know, getting my feet wet, doing some rewrites and other things. And like, you know, now that I finally figured out my career and how to do my job better, I just been getting the creative itch back, and I want to go back and can write, because you know, it's all I used to do when we started this show is I would write articles, I would write my books, you know, and then I fell ass backwards into teaching. So I want to get back into that a little bit.
Yeah, you end up becoming like a real civilian, got a real job. Yeah,
get scrub.
Got a real job, but hey guys, programming note, I'm gonna be taking off for a little while. I'm heading off to next weekend. I'm going to California for like 3 weeks, and then when I come back, I'm gonna have visitors in town that are gonna be staying. So I'll have my office, but I'll have a bunch of people downstairs. It'll just be a whole thing. So I don't know when we're coming back. I will be doing Brace for Impact this coming up Thursday, so that is happening. But then after that, like, we're gonna go on a hiatus for a little while. And then when I come back, I don't know like if and when we're doing this anymore. I don't know what's going on. We're gonna just figure it out whenever I come back and get refreshed and see what the state of the podcast looks like. So gonna go away for a little while. When I'm in the Redwoods, I'm deleting all social media. I'm just off social media. I'm just glad to like chill for a little while. Chad Schultz says maybe JD wants to write for TNA. JD, do you hate yourself that much?
I'm friends with Mike Gilbert. They'd never hire me.
Yeah. Yeah. They should, but they will not. They don't have anybody with ideas there that's ever written anything substantial.
I have no interest in writing professional wrestling. I wrote a professional wrestling book, and that actually zapped my love of pro wrestling for a year. Like writing Gaijin and then like doing the show at the same time. Like it was hard for me to get back into my own hobby for a while. And that was difficult. So
yeah.
I think you have earned it. You are absolutely the backbone of this show and this little whole endeavor that we have gotten. I get to be your wacky sidekick every week, but you are the guy who keeps this thing going. You work your ass off. You have such grand vision for what we do. And I think that you have a well-earned break coming up. We took one last summer and came back pretty good. So like whatever you feel you have to do, I fully support it 100%. And the last 5 years that we have been doing this, man, you've been nothing but one of my dearest friends, and I love coming on here and talking to you every week and bullshitting about these stupid wrestling companies and having fun. And you know, we'll see what tomorrow brings, but I've enjoyed this ride immensely.
Yeah, it's been a great 5 years. Like, I'm not saying goodbye forever. I just don't know what things are going to look like whenever we get back. Because I'll be honest, and I'm not talking about just TNA. I have kind of like lost a lot of my passion for pro wrestling. I really have. The only reason why I'm even keeping up with it as much as I do is because of the podcast. I feel like I have an obligation to the audience. And so like, that's why like last week's like TNA show was so bad. I didn't want to do the podcast, but I had advertised it. So I did. So I watched it and I did it. And we did a call-in show. I just let people bitch about it. So that was fun. I have a lot of other interests, and podcasting takes up a lot of my time because it's not just coming on here and talking. It's like the watching of the wrestling, and then it's researching stuff. It's looking stuff up, and then you know, it's reading all the things. It's advertising. It's tweeting. It's doing all those things. And then after the podcast is over, it's, you know, editing the files and editing all the YouTube clips. And like I've quit actually trying on the YouTube thumbnails. I just let AI do it now. I just ran out of time, and I'm like a one man operation. So I'm doing everything myself. So I was using Canva for a long time, but when I found out ChatGPT just does it quicker, I just use that. And I know that pisses people off, but like, fuck it. I'm doing everything myself. So, you know, if other people wanted to do it, they could do it, but I'm doing it all myself. So this, I'm getting it done because I have to do it within a time frame that I can do it in. So, I don't know what it's going to look like when I come back. I don't know if we're going to do like a regular thing or if it's just going to be like a non-routine, like, hey, we have this idea, let's talk about it. Like, I don't know. I know that I spent $300 on this microphone. So, like, I don't want that to go to waste, you know. I also know that in late in July, I'm moving to a new section in a new building. I don't know what the layout's going to look. I don't know what my boss is going to expect of me. So I don't know what my work schedule is going to be like. I don't know any of that stuff. So a lot of things are up in the air, but the YouTube will remain active. It's not going anywhere. Patreon's going to stay live for a little while. JD's dropping, killing the town. And again, I'm doing Brace for Impact this week, because I'm available, but I won't be available for a while. So we shall see what the future holds of the podcast. So just, thanks everybody for sticking around with us for 5 years, man. That's been great. So thanks everybody for sticking around and being a part of it. And I love the live format. A lot of times I'm like having a hard time getting myself up for these shows because it's so late, but the live chat always kind of keeps it to where it's enjoyable for me. And then of course, talking to you, JD, as well, keeps things just enjoyable. If it wasn't for that, I'd be cooked by now. But JD, man, until next time, and chat, until next time, mahalo.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A game.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.